Let's pray together, please. Lord, now let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in college, we had a big power outage one day, but they decided to hold some classes in spite of it, there being maybe enough light coming in through the windows. To get to one of my classes, I had to go into a building, then down two flights of stairs in total darkness, but that was okay because there was the rail to hold on to. At the bottom of the stairs was the hallway that led to the classroom I was to go to. But there was only total darkness there. I thought, well, I'm early. I can wait a few minutes until my eyes adjust. So I stood there and looked into the dark and waited and stared and waited. Then it was time for class and there was nothing to do but best I could feel my way down the hallway toward the room. I took half a step, ran smack into a wall, face first. Turns out, at the bottom of the stairs, you had to go about two steps to the left. That's where the hallway opened, and there was dim light enough to walk through. I had been standing for 2 full minutes, 6 inches away from a brick wall, trying to see the light. Just over there was light enough to walk by. But if your nose is 6 inches from a wall, your eyes will never adjust. Not if the lights have gone out. Hey, said the people to God, where did you go? We've been asking for a word from you, and we hear nothing. We've been looking for any sign that you notice us, but there is nothing. We are wounded here. Where are you? And God, after all, did reply, of course you don't see me, you dimwits. You're in front of a wall. Move over, take your steps there, and you will see light enough. Step over where? To take what steps? And the voice replies, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, give clothes to those who need them, break the bonds of injustice, take off the yoke, set the oppressed people free, take away the pointing of the finger and your evil speech, stop hiding from your own kin. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Then you'll call to me and I will answer. You'll cry for help. I'll say, here I am. I don't actually blame those people much, those wounded people, heartbroken at God's absence. Their country was in total collapse, literally. The city walls and the temple, now piles of rubble, national institutions and governing systems gutted, thousands of people killed, thousands more deported, who finally now have just arrived back home to all this wreckage. And so prayers are lifted with a new degree of resolve and earnestness. God, help us find our way. Give us the strength of unity now. Bring us wise leaders. Help us rebuild. God, give us hope again. Nothing changed. So they start fasting now, going without food to prove they mean their prayer. But nothing changes at all. So of course they lament. Why don't you say something? Why don't you notice? But God does notice. God notices that while they are praying, they are also being contentious and unkind. But God also notices how their anguish for their country and for themselves has now become a wall in front of their eyes. So God's correction of them now is a mercy for them. Children, stop looking so much at yourselves, at your prayers, at your disappointments, and your outrage, and your fears. Make it less about you. Make it about actually helping people who are poor. Make it about people who are actually suffering from unfair systems and unjust accusations and suspicions or neglect. Make it about what concretely you can do alongside them and in their behalf. Move and take those steps. In part, this text is about the problem of religion. Somehow, these people's obsession with religious gatherings and prayer and purity had become a kind of sick substitute for personal, compassionate engagement in the suffering of the world. It still happens. Good people like us come to church with our serious concerns and with our deep feelings. And we hear stirring words sometimes, and we engage in very thoughtful prayers, and there's this great music, and there's pathos and energy, and there's having each other, and it can be so cathartic that we leave here thankful and forgetful that it isn't finished until we make our own personally engaged application in the raw need of the world. How perfectly awful, since the very heart of worship is engagement with God, confronting us with the world and with ourselves and with each other. If the Spirit is in us, worship, as it draws us in, will push us out into what a suffering world, a promising world, might want from us. Great Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel was asked by a journalist why he had come to join a demonstration against the war in Vietnam. He said, "I am here because I cannot pray. Every time I open my prayer book, I see images of children burning from napalm." Maybe something like that should happen here. Maybe it should happen every week here, that one of the good gifts of worship is that we are haunted here and driven with new urgency and energy to act, to speak, to serve, to give ourselves away for for the sake of the vulnerable. Because that is where we begin to see better light. And that's where some needed healing can begin to happen. And not just for people out there, but surprisingly, healing for ourselves. It beats sitting around and complaining. Did you notice that when God tells these people to share their bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into their homes and break the yoke of oppression, that God also says, put away from you the pointing of the finger and your evil speech? That is what taking personal responsibility requires and will do. Energies dissipated on blaming and accusing are redirected and focused to personal, relational action that we do for the sake of Christ's love. I recently heard of a father who, when his family sits down for dinner in the evenings, sometimes will say, I don't want to hear a word of complaint about anybody until you've told us first one thing you did today to make the world a better place. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Then your healing will spring up quickly. You will cry for help, and I will answer. You will call out, and I'll say, here I am. We lose it so easily, a sense of God's presence, sense of God at work to do much of anything. But Christ intends to meet us in the eyes of the homeless. And Christ awaits us in a refugee family we could support. And when you have extended your good friendship to anyone who needs such a friend as you, their face becomes for you the face of Christ. The light we've been looking for is coming from them, and it's beginning to come from us. And God will say, here I am.